I'm free whenever. It's got to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, happy days, whatever.
Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend's come. Something, something. These days are.
These happy days. That's all I know.
And I got Alberts.
Sit on it, Potsy. Yeah. Ow. Mr. Miyagi was like the original dude at that restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, well, what do you mean he's the original dude?
The original owner, proprietor of Al's Diner or whatever the fuck.
Oh, but they couldn't have it be owned by a Jap, so.
Probably. He got run out of town, see? They don't like this kind in Milwaukee.
In the 50s.
He got kicked out of Anaheim already and went to Milwaukee.
Ended up in Reseda.
That's how they do.
God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude!
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm David, and I'm super excited to be back after my 3-week hiatus. Randy, unfortunately, is still on that hiatus, but he might pop in later, but we'll see. I am joined by Justin and Amanda. How are you guys doing? Did you guys enjoy your David-free couple weeks?
No. I was sad.
No. You loved every second of it, because you didn't have to.
I
put
won
up
a game.
I know, and I was screaming at my radio. I'm like, Marky Mark game for when I'm not there. How dare they?
Yeah, that was coincidence. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you were holding on to that.
No, like, I was so sad, David, that you and Randy were gone. We are nuts from the same Sunday, and I was just depressed.
I missed you every second of every day. And I wish you'd had to take a hiatus too, but I'm back now, and Geek Legacy is going to start kicking ass as always. And we're going to start with Amanda. Amanda, fascinate me. What's been happening?
Well, it looks like Jonathan Banks is going to be joining the Better Call Saul spinoff from Breaking Bad. For those who don't recall, Jonathan Banks played Mike Ehrmantraut, who was what's his face?
Hoyos Hermanos.
Hoyos Hermanos.
Gus.
He played Gus's muscle.
Oh, dang.
And probably the best character on the show.
That'll make it an even better show than it was already going to be since
Mike. He died.
Yes, sadly. But it's a new prequel. So.
He was shot and thrown in the trunk.
Spoiler
of the
alert, Justin. Some people haven't finished watching Breaking Bad.
That's too bad.
Apparently, he's on Community right now.
Yeah.
And so then I guess once that wraps up, he will be reprising his role as Mike.
That show isn't canceled by now?
No.
I know, right? No, they gave it another chance.
Close that school down.
Yeah, Dan Harmon's back as showrunning. And so it's gotten a lot better, but it's still time to go. They actually had Chevy Chase was on one of the first episodes as a hologram.
Right. I read about it.
I bet they gave him buckets of money to come back.
They shouldn't have.
Donald Glover left too.
Yeah, I haven't seen his exit show yet, but I'm told it's moving. I was told by many that they cried.
Oh yeah, that the Albanzies cry.
What a bunch of babies!
I'm sure he cried. I'm sure Abed cried.
I call them Albed. Isn't that from like Final Fantasy?
I have no idea.
The Albed.
That's Final Fantasy X. They're like the sand people.
Yeah, with the weird language, you got to get their fucking. The little dictionary or whatever.
Yeah, you have to get like one for each letter because that's how you learn the language. You learn it one letter at a time.
Wow. Stupid.
It's the best.
Oh,
second best
true.
Final Fantasy game ever.
Yeah, right behind 8.
Yeah, well, it comes after 8, but chronologically.
All right. So, Mike, we like him. And yes. I can't wait to see him come into Saul's life from the beginning.
Speaking of life, Star Wars Rebels, they revealed a new character.
Explain that segue to me real
quick. It's a non-sequitur segue.
Oh, okay.
One of the producers talked about stuff that's going to happen in Star Wars Rebels. A new droid character was revealed, and it's going to be this, like, crazy kind of, like, dirty R2-D2 looking guy, but he's also kind of orange and has little arms.
It looks like some swap meet ripoff of R2-D2.
And yeah.
I think they need to abandon that model because I think it's insulting.
I think like a bootleg.
It looks exactly like a bootleg, and there's no reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is ridiculous.
His name is Chopper.
Dumb.
Yeah. It looks like a Turkish Star Wars toy, which is a thing. Google it.
Exactly. It looks like some phony baloney import that does not belong in the Star Wars universe.
And I don't know why it's a personality. When there's nothing on there that looks like it's for chopping.
Maybe out of the top of his head a little propeller comes out.
Maybe he's like chopped together from various pieces, like from like a chop shop. Maybe he's like Latino and he's like, hey, I'm going to take your Graysler down and sell it for parts. And in the back, it's got a sticker that's like in loving memory of somebody who died recently.
In Old English.
Yeah, they do that too.
Yeah. Or an Old Galactic Basic.
Yeah. Sorry, Amanda.
Speaking of Galactic Basic.
What else you got?
Latino Reviews, El Mayimbe tweeted.
Latino Review, eh?
He tweeted that he got like a DC exclusive that the first villain that was going to appear in the Gotham TV show will be the Penguin.
Boring.
What do you mean?
The Penguin's so dumb.
He's pretty dumb.
But he's scary.
He's not. He's short. He's got a big nose.
Yeah, he's short and scary.
He wants to
umbrellas.
He wants to rub elbows with the rich and fabulous. And I think that that's dumb. That's not interesting in the least bit.
Yeah, the only way it could be interesting is that since they're deciding Gotham is now going to be the Smallville, and they're going to have, like, they're going to do, as Jeff calls it, the Jesus years of his teen years. It would be interesting if Oswald Cobblepot was at the same boarding school in Bloodhaven or wherever they're going to be. That might be interesting because, you know, there are so many wealthy characters in the Batman universe. It would be interesting to see how he interacts with them. Maybe Batman's the reason, or maybe Bruce Wayne's the reason he is a dick. Maybe he's like a super nice guy in like the AV club, and Bruce Wayne comes, he's like, I'm too cool for you, my parents are dead, feel bad for me. And then he's like, wah.
See, I always thought that he was older. Like, I never really put them in the same age group.
No.
No, I
but that doesn't mean they can't reinvent it, right?
No, that's true. Maybe he shows up to buy Wayne Manor because his parents died. And he's like, well, it's not for sale. And
I'll take this money.
My parents are dead. I can't take my house.
Yeah, he should be like a repo man. And then he uses people's shit to pretend like he's all rich.
I'm here for your umbrellas.
That's interesting. Let's do that.
Speaking of umbrellas.
Oh, shit. What else we got?
New Girl is being sued for copyright infringement.
What?
Because other things have sucked in the past?
No. According to...
Shia LaBeouf.
No. According to Entertainment Weekly.
Entertainment Weekly?
Yeah. It's a couple of... comedians, scriptwriters are suing the creator of New Girl, the agency, and a bunch of producers and Fox for copyright infringement. They claim that they had shopped around a script called Square One in like 2006 to 2011. And that the basic underpinnings of their pilot script is so similar, is like really, really similar to New Girl.
Why are we just not hearing about it?
Yeah, why are they waiting so long?
The show came out in 2011.
Oh, because, well, no, it was never picked up. It was never bought.
No, but New Girl has been out for a while, is what I'm saying. It's the third season. Why is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Why is this just now coming to light?
Maybe this is just something that's been a long time in the making.
Wow. That happens all the time, though, with movies.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know what, like, it's also possible that they never watched New Girl.
Oh.
And then one of them did, or someone who knew that they wrote the script did, and told them about it. And then
Probably happened what probably happened is they knew from the beginning, but now the new girl is in its third season and they're going to go into their fourth season. And that's when you get syndication. Now they realize that now they're talking real money instead of just, if they did that after like the second episode, Fox would just cancel the show and be like, oh, sorry, here's $50,000. Mm-hmm. But now that they now they can make claim to over 100 episodes of intellectual property that's going to be, you know, disseminated over multiple networks. You know, there's a lot more money at stake to where Fox can't just get rid of the show. So I bet they're trying to be sneaky.
So I don't know. It kind of made me feel like I like New Girl a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
But you were talking, Justin, how you're over it, too.
I don't like that new character, Coach.
You don't like Coach?
No, I don't like anything about the show. I don't think it's funny anymore. I think Schmidt's become like a psycho.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've all gotten pretty insane.
And, like, Nick, who used to be, like, the weirdo, is now kind of almost like the voice of reason now. It's kind of weird.
They're all the rest of them are crazy.
Yeah. It's kind of done some weird flip-flop thing.
I don't like how Wilson is, like... Winston, sorry. Not Wilson. Where did I get Wilson from?
I don't know. Who's your little fact checker?
I know.
Oh, it's Jennifer.
Oh. It's like, holy shit, we got a budget now. We got a fact checker and everything.
Winston. Awesome. I don't like how Winston is, like, kind of a psychopath.
Well, what else? We got anything in movie news, Dave?
Heck yeah, we got stuff in movie news. I've been gone way too long. I haven't bored you with tales of all the movies I've seen, and I didn't know if you guys maybe had seen a couple movies in my absence, but anyone here seen Her?
No.
Nope.
With Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson? Mm-hmm. You should remedy that. Although the premise sounds utterly ridiculous on paper, in execution, it is probably one of the sweetest love stories I've ever seen.
Does he make love to the robot?
Sort of. She's not a robot. She's an operating system.
To the computer.
Sort of.
In the trailer, he's wearing like a little headset thing. He has an earpiece.
Correct. Yeah, it's kind of like an advanced Bluetooth to where it's like...
But it's got like, wires.
No wires. There's a tiny little... piece of machinery looks like one of those like real small hearing aids. Uh-huh. You put in your ear, and that's how you interact with your operating system.
Does it hum really loud if it's up to that loud?
It didn't in Her. I imagine if you went underwater, it might. But no, it was pretty seamless, and it was quite an amazing performance for Scarlett Johansson, considering that she wasn't someone else was cast in the role, and actually did all of the dialogue and all the on set work with Joaquin Phoenix, and then in the end they decided it just wasn't working. And so they brought in Scarlett Johansson to re-record all the dialogue.
So is it socially acceptable for people to date operating systems? Are there a lot of people
in
the world of Her that are dating these things?
No, everyone thinks he's weird, right?
Yeah, everyone thinks. So how it works is at the beginning, the operating system comes out and it's this new AI. And so he gets it because he's lonely. He has no interest in dating. And he just needs someone to help him with his day-to-day life and organize his emails and stuff like that. And then he gets to choose whether he wants his operating system to be a boy or a girl. And, you know, he just chooses a girl because he's a creepo.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's got that mustache. Man.
Yeah.
That porno stash. I don't know what it is, the mustaches, but everybody just looks like a pedophile when they have one.
Yeah. It's pretty unnerving, the mustache.
I don't like it.
But so, yeah, in the film, no, it's highly frowned upon. And it's with the exception of the amazing Chris Pratt, who plays one of his coworkers and is totally not judgmental about it because he's Burt Macklin. Pretty much everyone else he interacts with is, are you serious? What's wrong with you? Kind of thing, to where it's not socially acceptable. You know, some people do it, but it's very, very hush hush in the minority. And for the bulk of the movie, Joaquin Phoenix really doesn't tell anyone because he's, you know, embarrassed.
Now, can she get a virus? And if so, how do they treat it?
I think we evolved past viruses. It wasn't addressed. There is a really funny video game that is central to the story, and I won't spoil that one because it's like a total like immersive voice activated game, and the protagonist is a foul mouthed little kid. So,
now what if I don't speak English? Can my operating system speak other languages?
It's a worldwide release, so I'm assuming that they have the ability to speak any language you would need it to speak.
I feel like this movie's leaving me with more questions than answers, Dave.
It should. It was only an hour and 45 minutes. It wasn't a documentary about the operating system. It was about the triumph of love and that it can overcome all obstacles.
And how women lie.
And how even computer women lie and cheat.
Does she ever need to be, like, rebooted? Is she...
Yeah, she, at one point she like upgrades herself, and so like she's like offline, and he like freaks out and stuff like that. But it gets better. Yeah.
Now, does he have to charge his little Bluetooth thing all the time? Like, is he ever without her, or can he be with her all the time?
He doesn't sleep with the earpiece in his ear, and it's kind of like today's thing, to where it's not socially acceptable to like when he goes in like to meetings at work, he doesn't have his Bluetooth in and stuff like that. So
does she ever require her own personal space? Like, she's tired of talking to him.
There is one small part to where he kind of pisses her off. She kind of disappears for a little bit of time.
Now, is there any kind of guarantee if you're paying for this operating system? Like, so I guess, can it leave you? Can it say, you know what, this isn't working and we can't be in a relationship anymore? Can the operating system say that to you? And then you have to
another one? and then you'd get a new operating system.
Wow.
So you could be such a despicable, terrible human being that your computer could be like, nope, not going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a subservient entity. It's very real. And like I said, I know the premise is just utterly ridiculous, but in the execution, you believe it. You know, the movie pokes fun at itself. You know, the thought of someone dating their operating system is laughed at in the film, and you know, it's very. Spike Jonze, he used to be married to Sofia Coppola, and so a lot of people are saying this is his answer to Lost in Translation. Which is not a very good movie. I would say that her gets the notion of someone kind of out on their own island and lonely better than Lost in Translation. Lost in Translation at Bill Murray, for Christ's sake.
And Scarlett Johansson.
And a young Scarlett Johansson. Like the opening shot where she's like in her underwear, that's a pretty good shot.
That's all you took away from it.
It was, because the movie's not very good. Sofia Coppola doesn't know how to focus.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was like soft focus the whole time.
Yeah.
I was like, I need glasses. It was kind of bothering me. I didn't get it. I was like, holy shit, dude, I'm going blind.
Need an eye chart or something.
Yeah, it was rough.
But I won't harp on the other ones as much, but I also saw Wolf of Wall Street, which was also good. A little long, it was 3 hours. It feels a little long in some places, but overall it's like Goodfellas, but on Wall Street.
But he always makes 3 hour movies.
Well, most of those are like, they're close. I mean, like a lot of his better movies are like right in that 2 hour and like 40 minute zone. Mm-hmm. I mean, Casino's 3 hours.
Casino is like exactly 3 hours.
Yeah. I meant Goodfellas. I'm sorry.
Either way, Casino's exactly 3 hours. It's like 3 hours and 1 minute.
Yeah, I think that DiCaprio's awesome in it, and everyone is top notch in it. I just think it maybe could have been 20 minutes less, and it's just full of just nudity. It broke the record for the most F words in a movie. It broke Pulp Fiction's record of like 500 and something, and it's just every frame has got like a naked lady, someone having sex, someone doing some form of drug, because Leonardo DiCaprio takes, I think they said like 14 different drugs in this movie.
Wow.
Including smoking crack out of like a stripper's ass, and he's doing Quaaludes all the time, and coke, and booze, and crack, and you name it, he's doing it. And half the time he's having sex with someone while he's doing it.
So
there's like
awesome.
There's like money all over the there's one scene where the bed is full of money. He's having sex with a girl while doing a line of coke.
That's awesome.
Like half this movie, all I'm thinking is, man, I miss Justin. I'm like, you know who would appreciate this? Justin.
Very good. I can't wait.
Yeah, so it's definitely worth checking out. Again, Redbox it or watch it on Netflix or something. I saw Walter Mitty. It was pretty good. You know, same thing. Wait for that. Yeah, it's pretty much it. I saw most of the movies I saw. I saw Grudge Match. Saw a couple of the movies, but those are the only ones really worth mentioning. Did you guys see the Maleficent trailer?
Yes.
The Dream trailer?
Yes.
What about you, Amanda? Did you see it?
No, I didn't have a chance to watch it.
You can find it on geeklegacy.com.
You sure can.
I didn't have a chance to watch it.
No excuse.
It's like 2 minutes. There's like these crazy, like, roots guys.
Like root dragon. It's like a root dragon.
Yeah. It's like comes out of the ground. And it's made up of like grass roots.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm still fuzzy. Is Maleficent the good guy in this one?
I think at the very beginning she might be a good guy for like 3 seconds. Well, like kind of like a Lord of the Rings intro where she saves the world. She takes up Isildur's sword and plays something, but then
she's like, I'm taking the ring.
Yeah, she's told, you know, she's promised all these wonderful things for saving the world, and then they say, F off, we're done with you. And then she's like, fine!
Next time, get it in writing.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'm just not a huge fan of the live-action production design of Disney of late, you know, with Oz and...
Pete's Dragon.
Yeah, Pete's Dragon. Oz and Alice in Wonderland. I just don't like the art style. But, you know, who knows? Maybe it'll be good.
It has green fire, Dave.
Does that mean good?
I like green fire. She had that in the cartoon, too.
Oh. Well, there you go.
And I really liked Lana Del Rey singing the song.
Right.
Once Upon a Dream song. That was cool.
Haunting.
Haunting. Yes.
Yeah.
I needed a fun adjective. And very cool is not cool.
It doesn't cut it, man.
So it's like,
it's cutting edge.
Haunting.
It's 2014.
I like Lana Del Rey.
Well, good for her. But yeah, so that came out. And then have you guys been keeping up on the Quentin Tarantino drama with The Hateful Eight?
Yes. He hates all eight people he gave his script to.
Yeah, I believe he does, especially Bruce Dern and Michael Madsen, who looks like may have been responsible for the leak. But because you didn't know, you know, last week the script for The Hateful Eight, which was going to be Tarantino's next film, was going to be a Western. It's going to star Bruce Dern, Michael Madsen, Tim Roth. I'm sure Christoph Waltz and Samuel Jackson would have been on there as well. The script actually got leaked by an agent of one of the actors that it was given to. And Tarantino decided that because of that, he was just going to shelf it. You know, he might make it later. He might just release the script for his fans and say, like, here you go, have fun, $20. The website Gawker, the last day or so, actually published the script online. And that did not go over too well with Mr. Tarantino, who viewed their actions as predatory journalism, violating people's rights to make a buck. So he's actually filed a lawsuit against them for, you know, copyright infringement, and he's hoping to sue them for $1 million. Actually, probably more than that, but it's more fun to say $1 million. So what do you guys think about the whole thing? Are you disappointed that you're not going to get to see another Tarantino Western?
I don't really care, but it's not copyright infringement because they weren't the ones who posted the script. They just posted a link to another website that had posted the script.
They posted it with the note, here is the leaked Quentin Tarantino Hateful Eight script. So they knew what they were doing.
That's not copyright infringement, though.
Let's see. Copyright infringement and contributory copyright infringements. So aiding in the copyright infringement.
A party too, not the party.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't say if the Gawker was hosting the link as well, or if they were linking to a third-party site owned by Gawker or somebody else. But needless to say, it was a dick move, Gawker, dick move. I'm sure they got like
that. Why can't he still do his thing?
Because he feels betrayed and he doesn't want to. It's a principle. Yeah. He's got scruples.
My baby.
Dang. I mean, he's arguably the one of the few remaining artists in film.
Oh,
I mean,
shit!
What?
That's a bold statement.
Oh, well, no, I mean, just from the...
I just quoted him saying that, by the way. That's John Travolta says that in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, nice. I mean, he makes a movie like every 3 years. You know, he carefully picks what movie he wants to make next, and he makes the movie he wants to make, and he delivers on a product that the studios afford him, you know, the leeway that he needs. And, you know, I would argue that, you know, Tarantino hasn't made a bad movie yet.
People would say that Death Proof is on the list. In fact, he even agrees that that's not his best.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that he had a point to make with Death Proof that, you know, he just wanted to make, you know, one of those B movies. And, you know, it's where a lot of people, I think, almost don't count that as a Tarantino film.
Mm-hmm. I actually enjoy it. But I like Kurt Russell, so.
Everybody loves Kurt Russell.
Love him the most. And I make him things and send it to him.
Oh, yeah? Like hair dolls?
Yeah, for my pubes.
Yeah, it fell to your pubes that way.
It did.
In the shape of Kurt Russell's face.
Yep.
But yeah, that was cool. And then one last thing on movies was, did you guys see I, Frankenstein this weekend?
No.
That's okay. Nobody else did. It finished sixth place, and it made $8.6 million out of the budget of $65 million, with an additional $40 million of advertising. So it made about 7.5% of its total budget back in its first weekend, and it's not doing so well overseas either. It hasn't opened in a couple of the big countries, but so far it is doing abysmal there as well. It looks terrible. It did not screen for press for obvious reasons.
That's always a red flag, right?
It is always a red flag. It did not do well. As opposed to Frozen, that made $9 million, so made more than it in its 10th week out. And Frozen is actually at $347 million, so it's going to hit $350 million any day now.
It's the number one, it's like the highest grossing original animated film.
Like, it's pretty good.
It being a non-sequel and all.
Right. Yeah, no, it's pretty good.
I don't like singing.
I don't like singing really in my movies either, but... this one has a couple of really catchy tunes, and it's mostly in the beginning.
Like tunes you could tap your foot to?
I was tapping my foot to. Like Let It Go will win the Oscar this year for Best Original Score, which is our Best Original Song, and it's pretty amazing. Like, I was singing it for like 2 months after it came out. Still singing it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't understand the title of I, Frankenstein. I don't get it.
It's clever and witty and
how
confusing.
I don't understand. I, comma, Frankenstein. What does that mean?
I don't know. The creator was at that Machinima Awards that I was at. I probably could have asked him and talked to him, but I didn't want to talk to him. I was too busy enjoying myself. I just went on living the rest of my life. That's all. That's all I got for movies. Glad to be back. And, what about you, Justin? What do you got rattling around in your brain?
Well, over the weekend, you and I were talking about sequels that are better than the original.
Hells yeah!
And that kind of got some gears turning in my noggin. And immediately I sent you my list of what I thought would be your list, actually. And I was kind of close. I'm off on a couple, I guess. But I thought that you particularly would choose Empire Strike Back, Aliens, Terminator 2, X2, Thor 2, The Godfather Part 2, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, The Dark Knight, Chamber of Secrets, Into Darkness. I actually pegged you for The Two Towers, which I believe I'm ultimately incorrect at, and then I even said Toy Story 2.
Shit, I totally forgot about X2 and Spider-Man 2.
Did I mention I meant to mention Spider-Man 2. I don't think I did.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, you mentioned Thor 2.
Yeah. But I know we both like Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
So, real quickly, I just want to run down your list. You actually, are these ranked in order? I see you have.
They are ranked in order.
Okay. So this is as far as you're concerned, the worst to best. But even though 10th place is not bad at all, it just happens to be on this list.
Yeah. Yes. Correct. Right.
So coming at number 10, as far as sequels being better than the originals. You actually listed the entire series for Harry Potter.
Yes.
That's cute.
Truth.
And I appreciate that. I do like A Chamber of Secrets a whole heck of a lot more than the first one. That's not to say that the first one wasn't good. It was cute for what it was.
And do you like Prisoner better than Chamber?
I do.
Yeah.
I don't think I like... I don't know where I would put Goblet of Fire, but it would probably... I don't even know if that's better than the first one, but... It's definitely enjoyable. I enjoy all the movies, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
this kind of got progressively better, you know, this is a series, I thought.
Good for you.
And they were kids. They couldn't act.
What?
Well, I mean, the stories got more mature, too. I mean, J.K. Rowling's had a lot to do with it. You know, her stories grew up with the kids, you know, to where the theme of book 7 is a lot darker than the theme of book 1. Book 1's all about, yeah, it's magic and we defeated this creepy dude on the back of some guy's head, and then it's like people are dying like left and right.
Well, even in the third one he's like, I'm gonna kill him.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa. Like,
yeah, calm me down, kid. Drink your butterbeer and relax.
Yeah.
Number 9 coming in hot is The Dark Knight. I think all of us would agree that The Dark Knight is probably the best one out of the Nolan trilogy.
Without a doubt.
Oh. But that's not to say that the other... David obviously doesn't like Dark Knight Rises, but I think we could also agree that Batman Begins is a really, really good film. So
it is.
Good for you on that one. Number eight, one of our favorites, The Last Crusade. Obviously, Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade.
Yeah.
We have argued this tooth and nail since the beginning of time.
Since before we were born.
Yes. That movie is near and dear to both of our hearts. Amanda, I think you like Last Crusade a lot, too, right? Do you like that one over the other ones, or no?
Yeah, I'd say so.
All right.
Yeah, all agreement.
Randy's the only crazy one that puts... What is his... His order's weird, right? Does he like...
He likes
Raiders. Raiders.
Temple, right?
Yeah.
He goes Raiders, then Temple, then Last Crusade, and then Kingdom of Justice.
No. He puts Last Crusade second.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
I thought he liked... Because sentimental reasons and just nostalgia he puts...
He does it to piss us off.
Oh, okay.
But deep down, he knows Crusade's the second best.
Fair enough. I'm glad he's not here right now.
When he comes on, Alaska, right?
Right. Number seven is Christmas Vacation. I totally forgot about that movie.
Oh, yeah. My God, that's the best movie.
That is a good one. It's hard for me to enjoy, though, because Chevy Chase is a fucking dick face now. Oh. I guess it's always been, but I wasn't privy to that until...
Well, if you think about it, Clark is a dickhead, too.
That's true.
You were blissfully unaware.
I was, and it kind of broke my heart, because that movie has always had a special place in the Cavender household at Christmas time, and I didn't even watch it this last year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Big deal.
That Blu-ray is a coaster now. number six. This is, okay, so you have Return of the King.
It could easily be either one.
Yeah, and that movie is one of my favorites, and I love it to death, especially the extended. It has so many amazing scenes that were sadly cut from the theatrical release. But if you have a chance to watch the extended, I think you will agree that it's phenomenal. And Two Towers is definitely really good, too. And as you said before the podcast, that's not to say that Fellowship is bad. It's just these other ones are better.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like The Hobbit.
The Hobbit destroys these movies.
Easily.
Number five, Terminator 2. I think that movie blows away the first one.
Agreed.
It's just insanely good.
It's the Terminator movie.
Yeah. I don't even think you need to watch the first one to really enjoy the second one.
No.
Yeah, you just need to know the premise that they explain like at the beginning of Terminator 2. You just have to know that there was a movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger was the bad guy and tried to kill Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
Now start Terminator 2.
And another guy from the future came and knocked up his mama.
Yeah. Dun 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 dun.
He's older than his dad.
Sorry. That movie gave me nightmares.
Did it?
Yeah, I don't know what it was. No. The Judgment Day, for whatever reason, there's really been like two movies that like ever like really got in my head and like gave me nightmares. Like one was Terminator 2, and it was Robert Patrick's character. I was afraid of like the liquid metal guy,
mm-hmm.
like to where I like, couldn't sleep. And the other one was the alien from Independence Day, when he's like kind of like half like when they're before he gets shot by Jane from Firefly.
Oh yeah,
and he's like no peace, yeah, and like that gave me nightmares too for a little while. I was always scared. I'm like, oh, I'm a little old to be scared. This is like 96. I'm like 17. Like I probably shouldn't be scared. So I've never admitted that to anyone. So you guys are the first.
I like it. I think that movie had one of the coolest teaser trailers ever, when it was like July 2nd they came, July 3rd they attacked, and then July 4th our Independence Day, the day we fought back. I was like, holy shit, that's a trailer.
Yeah, I remember talking to people, you guys see this trailer for this movie?
Yeah, it's awesome. Yep. Number four is Aliens. Now we're talking. Bill Paxton, my hero. Aliens is an awesome movie. I love that movie to death. It's a little long, but in fact, if you watch the director's cut, goddamn, it's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's like a day and a half.
Yeah, it's a long one, but it's really good. It's got a fun cast of space marines,
including Michael Biehn.
Yeah, he's in like every movie on your list here.
Clearly, I'm a fan.
Yeah, he'd have been good in Tombstone 2 if they ever made one.
Yeah. Not really much place to go.
Prequel, maybe. Yeah. But yes, Aliens is awesome. We love it. We like Cameron. You got two of his movies on this list.
Back to back.
Dang. You have a hard-on for Cameron.
If you made more sequels, I'd have more on there. If you made a sequel to Titanic or True Lies or, you know, anything else.
I think they're making like 15 Avatars.
They are. They're making 2 and 3 together, and they're already planning out 4.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Number 3, Godfather Part 2.
Yeah.
That's a good.
Was that or Hot Shots Part 2? I couldn't decide.
Oh, man. I still left the theater.
Sorry.
Terrible.
Or Naked Gun 33 and a third. Smell of fear.
I love it. That's a terrible. I actually saw that in Motel 6.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I saw Naked Gun 33 and a third the same day I saw Major League 2.
Shit.
It's not a banner day for the Edmondsons.
Oh. Yeah, I like Godfather 2. It's a good one. It's long.
Yeah.
200 minutes.
Yeah, I like De Niro as a young Vito Corleone. Flashbacks.
His name is Vito Endolini.
Call him oil.
That's a good one. Number 2 is Into Darkness.
It is not Into Darkness. It is the movie that Into Darkness ripped off.
I heard about that. Rat the car. That movie sucks so bad.
Boring.
It is. It is so boring, Dave.
You guys are insane. I
fall asleep within half an hour every single time I watch
it. It is so good.
No.
It's ridiculous.
You're such a liar.
It is amazing. I love Wrath of Khan. So, like, if I had a gun to my head and I had to name my 10 favorite movies of all time, Wrath of Khan is on there.
Well, you're a crazy person.
Number 1. No surprise, The Empire Strikes Back.
It's a fine film. You would be hard-pressed to find anyone who thinks that A New Hope is better than Empire Strikes Back.
I would agree.
Yeah, you would agree because it's awesome.
It's a good list. We actually took the Twitter earlier to find out if other people thought that there were certain sequels that were better than the originals. One of our editors, Tyler Waterman, he said Empire Strikes Back immediately comes to mind. No surprise there. Another one of our contributors, Zach Sam, said the exact same thing. Empire Strikes Back. Gus C., one of our buddies, and a regular listener, said the Aliens, Back to the Future Part 2, which I don't agree with, and then Terminator 2 is also on his list.
I also would not agree with Back to the Future 2. Back to the Future 2 is a good movie, but 1 is definitely better.
And we do quote it a lot, though.
True.
We quote the shit out of all of the Back to the Future movies. I would say pretty often I always tweet like, ooh la la, and I'm totally referencing Back to the Future 2.
Yeah, ooh la la. Ooh la la.
That's good stuff. And he also mentioned The Dark Knight, so good for him. Let's see. At RobJMitch74 says Aliens, Dark Knight Rises. Oh,
no.
Dave's going
to. Who's this? I'm going to make a list.
Rob Mitch.
Rob Mitch. What's his Twitter handle?
It is RobJMitch74.
Oh, Jesus. There were 73 other assholes. Yes. Rob J. Mitch 74. I'm going to send him a virtual fruit basket full of disease.
There you go. And
Dark Knight Rises. Okay. Do you guys, is anyone here thinking Dark Knight Rises is better than either of those two films? Batman Begins or Dark Knight?
It's better than Batman Begins.
I like Batman Begins. It has.
It has Katie Holmes.
But it also has Cillian Murphy, and he is amazing.
He is, and he's in all 3.
Yeah. And then, what else we got really? Oh, yeah, he kind of redeems himself with Big Mama's House 2.
That's redeeming himself?
Like Father, Like Son?
Dave would argue that that is better than Dark Knight Rises.
I wouldn't even have to argue. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, every single Martin Lawrence or Tyler Perry movie is better than Dark Knight Rises.
There you go.
I'd rather watch Madea than Dark Knight Rises.
Coming to an end here, Rob, he is at Duke0099, and he says, Terminator 2, while the original is classic, the sequel really visually shines. There you go. Joe Blakesy, one of our contributors, also says, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, third and best one in the series. Joe,
yeah.
Are my hero. Jeremy Gregory, who's at TigerFan8109, says, Back to the Future 2. Flying cars and hoverboards were awesome. It's another one for Back to the Future 2.
Hmm.
And then lastly, we have two more. Real quick. John Moriarty Holmes. There you go. He likes the Sherlock there. He's going to go with The Empire Strikes Back and Home Alone 2. Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Home Alone 2 is an amazing movie. It's an excellent follow-up to the original, but I would definitely prefer the first one over the second one. Although I do like the mayhem that ensues when they're trying to get into the apartment or the condo or whatever.
He's throwing the bricks at him.
The bricks are just super funny that when he falls through the hole and he's like, wow, what a hole. I sent you that video and I was laughing the whole time I was doing it at Christmas time. Holy shit.
Yeah, the bricks, I could watch it today and it would make me just die laughing. Like, he doesn't have any more, I don't think he's got any more bricks. He doesn't have any more bricks.
Oh, suck brick, kid. It's awesome. And then lastly, Angry Homosexual, who is our buddy at Asymmetrical Homo, says The Dark Knight. So, there you go. Thank you for participating, all you tweeps.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Randy's available.
Except for... What was it? Rob J. Mitch 74 in his Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, that's interesting. Randy, are you there?
I am here. Hello.
We said all sorts of terrible stuff about you. Shit, you're on the show now. Gotta clean it up.
I have no doubt in my mind that you did.
You're actually just in time for the fun game.
Yeah, missed my list. You missed my list of sequels that are better than the original.
Yes. So thank you, David, for that list. It's a lovely list.
Thanks. Thanks for reading it.
Yeah, it was fun. I finally got to contribute something to the podcast.
It was magical.
It was magical.
Yeah, it's like I've been holding it in, like, Randy. I've just been, like, just nonstop talking for, like, an hour and a half now.
Holy crap.
Poor Justin and Amanda.
Good thing I got here. I am the conversation killer.
Yes, yep, you are.
Let's hear about this game you got.
So, this game, I wanted to go with a theme of sequels, except I went the other way this time. These are sequels to popular movies that you didn't know existed, and for good reason, because they're terrible. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a couple sentence little blurbs. Some of them are descriptions of the film. Some are just fun little anecdotes that give you hints of what the film is. And you just tell me the franchise, because you'll never guess the actual name of the movies that they became.
Cool. I hope there's a Starship Troopers sequel on here.
Nope, because
those are god-awful.
Because we all knew about Starship Troopers. Out of these 10, I guarantee you that most of them you did not know had sequels. Yeah, so the first person who just shout it out when you know it. Let me make my little list.
We just have to name the franchise.
Yeah, just name the franchise, and you'll get a point.
Cool.
All right, you guys ready?
Yep.
All right. So this movie tackles the topic of Nazism as a character travels back in time and kills Hitler. Unsurprisingly, this didn't pose any threat to Schindler's List in the Holocaust movie stakes. Having Jean-Claude Van Damme stop this film could have been a better plot for the original. Time Cop 2, The Berlin Decision.
Holy shit.
Wow. one for Randy.
That's good, because I really had no idea they made sequels. Is there only one sequel, or is there like a whole chain?
There's just one. All right, next one. Todd Waring replaces Tom Hanks, who decided not to return for this straight-to-TV sequel. Depressingly, it was the second time this had happened, as he replaced Tom Hanks when he refused to do the TV spinoff for Nothing in Common. Daryl Hannah also passed wisely.
Money Pit? Oh, Splash!
Oh, Splash. Splash.
I don't know. You said Money Pit first.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
We go on to Randy.
Yeah, that's fine.
No, he said Splash first, though.
No,
honestly,
no, no.
That should go to Justin.
I said Money Pit first, and then but in my games, it's always if you guess wrong, then you're done for the turn. So.
Yeah, it's Splash 2, T-O-O.
Oh shit!
Oh, 80s were big on that.
Like Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah, that's right. All right, next one up. Helped no doubt by the ridiculously nonsensical title, this film boasts a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It was rumored to feature a cameo by Jennifer Love Hewitt, but even she passed. That's when you know you're in trouble. First he knew, then
knew
he still knew.
Summer.
That's right. This one's called I Always Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, shit.
Never. All right. This film stars Black Swan hottie Mila Kunis as a student who was driven to murder after
American Psycho.
Oh yeah, did you know there was a sequel to American Psycho?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh yeah, is it good?
Nope.
It doesn't look good. All right, next. Although it was just released as a midnight movie on Halloween, the film was an even bigger flop than the original. Suzanne Sarandon was set to reprise her role but dropped out after a salary dispute. The dispute was
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's right. The movie is called Shock Treatment.
Hmm. The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Tim Curry, my man.
Where was I? Both Jim Carrey and Courtney Cox decided not to come back, surprisingly.
Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective Junior. It's got a kid pet detective.
Yeah, I've seen the poster art for that. I think it's streaming on Netflix.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I thought you would know. All right. Richard Kelly, who directed the original, stated that he had nothing to do with this follow-up. The film follows Donnie's younger sister playing the same actress, played by the
Donnie
same
Darko?
Actress in both. Donnie Darko.
What?
S. Darko. It's called S. Darko.
Wow.
Why would they make a sequel to that?
Oh, no.
This next sequel is going to shock you. Matt Damon was replaced by John Malkovich in this sequel, which actually gained stronger reviews than the first.
Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yep.
Are you serious?
What?
Did you know there was a sequel, Amanda?
Nope, I totally guessed.
Yeah, it's
I was like, what Matt Damon movie would most likely have a sequel?
it's called
not
Ripley's
the
Game.
It's not the Bourne Identity.
Good job, Amanda. All right. This follow-up regurgitates the exact same storyline, but with no reference to the first. It also conveniently adds the subtitle "The Psycho" in case the subtle bloody knife on the poster leaves you in any doubt. No wonder these females can't find a man. Females.
Frickets.
Heathers?
No. Single white female.
Single white female.
Two.
Oh, damn
the
it.
The Psycho.
You didn't...
Sorry.
Sorry. That's all right.
Oh,
all
that...
right.
Yeah, with Jane... Or Bridget Fonda was in the first
Never
one.
Heard
yeah.
That.
Never heard of... You're missing out.
Is Jennifer Jason Leigh the other chick?
Jennifer Jason Leigh is the other one.
Yeah.
Number 10. Justin has 4. Randy has 3. So Randy could force a tie here.
Hey, I have one.
You have one, but you can't tie. You can't force a tie.
But I have one.
You do. I'm proud. You got one. I'm proud of the one you got. I was amazed. The perfectly cast Raul Julia and Angelica Houston were replaced with
Adam
the...
Adam Sandler.
God damn it!
Yeah, Randy forcing the tie. Adam's Family Reunion. They replaced them with Tim Curry and Daryl Hannah.
Wow.
All right. Tiebreaker time. All right. Patrick Swayze was set to reprise his role in this sequel, but dropped
Dirty
out.
Dirty Dancing!
No, oh, it was not Dirty Dancing.
Roadhouse!
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse is the right answer. Randy. Ja, Randy. Randy with 5.
Picking up Justin's sloppy second, dude.
Twice.
When I hear Patrick Swayze, honestly, those are the first two movies that come to mind. Dirty Dancing, then Roadhouse. So it was the natural chain in the progression.
I was going to say Ghost.
That would have been a good guess as well.
So that's the game. All those terrible sequels that you didn't know existed.
Son of a
wow.
Bitch. Game, dude.
Thanks. Talented Mr. Ripley 2, Ripley's Game. Go rent it. Is there anything you want to add, Randy, since you came late to the party? You missed all the feminine festivities?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Touch it?
I don't know how much you guys mentioned about it, if anything at all, but something special for you and I, almost to this exact moment in time right now, is exactly a week ago today that we wrapped shooting Nonstop to Comic-Con. And
yeah.
That is super exciting, and we are now putting up a photo a day or two. A couple of them are getting two photos up per day, but we're kind of going down the progression of the 14 days it took us to shoot it, and we're putting up a behind-the-scenes set photo of the day for each day. So that's kind of cool. We're doing that through the Nonstop to Comic-Con Facebook page, and we're also sticking it up on the Geek Legacy Facebook page as well. So take a look at it. Yeah, take a look at it. It's fun and festive. You get to see David and I in action in a couple of the shots there. And yeah, lots of fun stuff. And our listeners and followers are going to get to see some more behind the scenes material that, in fact, we're going to be some of the first people to see any of the video material that we're going to be putting up for the behind the scenes stuff. And that's going to be coming pretty soon, within the next few weeks.
I sent Justin a video of us putting Justin in a ball gag.
Oh, God. That's
other
awesome.
Justin.
Yeah,
other Justin.
I'm like, not me.
We didn't ball gag you.
Next time, at Comic-Con.
We snuck into your house and ball gagged you.
Yeah, at Comic-Con, we're going to ball gag you for real. With the same ball gag.
I don't think so. I drool. It wouldn't be a good idea.
That's all right. Well, it's got holes in it. It's a breathable ball gag, so it's like the most humane way to ball gag somebody.
I want that thing that like dentists have that keep your mouth open. I want one of those.
Those are the new kind of ball gags.
What are you gonna do with it?
They wedge your mouth open.
That is for when you need to have easy access to someone's skull opening.
Mm-hmm.
That is terrible.
Cut all that out.
You're a dirty, dirty man, Justin.
I didn't do it.
And we love you for it. Yeah, but you're the one saying you want one.
Well, wanting and doing are two different things.
True.
I just want weird shit for people to stumble on when I die. Like,
okay, that makes sense.
I want to freak him out. Like, I just want to have a chest, like a hope chest, of all kinds of just freaky deaky shit that they can open up and just say, oh my god.
There's going to be like a leather outfit and accoutrements and,
yeah, and I want to just give it all to people in my will. Like, it'll be locked, and then during the reading, everyone will be taking from the chest.
And oh to god. David, I bequeath my lucky ball gag.
Anybody else got anything to add? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Amanda.
What?
Justin.
Real quick, we want to say thanks to Jeff for filling in for Dave and Randy when they were gone. He was on our podcast twice, as well as Victor. He came on the show as a guest host, and also Jess. So thanks to all three of you for joining us.
And it was a much better show. Sorry, listeners, you're stuck with us again.
Oh.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for another action-packed episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm very excited to be back, and I'm glad Randy was able to pop on at least at the end there. I know he missed you guys all as well. Make sure to check out all the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network, including the Pixelated Podcast with Steven and Justin, as well as the Comic Book Corner with Tyler and Jeff. Make sure you like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, also on Instagram at Geek Legacy. And check out the site, www.geeklegacy.com, for all the latest geek news and reviews. And if you like us, send us an email, info@geeklegacy.com. We'll send you a picture of our junk or something.